All right, good morning. The next presentation is the benefits and pitfalls of social media. Our presenter is a senior project manager for software systems at Broadcast Electronics and Commotion. He's actively engaged in the development and emergent technologies for radio. Also has worked in front of and behind the microphone as a top-rated air talent, operations manager, and award-winning copywriter. He has both a technical and promotional background and regularly consults large radio groups on new media applications such as RDS, HD radio, tagging, and social media. Please welcome Jim Roberts.
Currently, I'm working on the company Commotion. It's a broadcast electronics company. Let me give you a little bit of a background about how Commotion got started. Broadcast electronics, as you know, has traditionally been an RF radio automation company. We put our heart and soul into radio. And we're constantly listening to our customers to try to find out, you know, what kind of challenges are you facing? How can we make your job better? What kind of things do you see that could be affecting radio in the future? And for a long time, we kept hearing the same thing. We need better tools for social media. We need better tools for mobile. We need to solve these problems, and we're not really happy with what we have to solve them with. So we had some ideas, but being a software company and an RF company, we don't have a lot of web developers and mobile developers on board. So about a year and a half ago, we found a company that was doing some really cool things, and we actually partnered with them a little bit prior to that with our radio experience line that gets title and artist from your automation and plumbs it out to RDS and HD and all those destinations. So we worked with this company before called Local Media, and they wanted to do a lot of the same things that our customers were telling us that the problems they wanted to solve. So about a year and a half ago, we partnered with them and actually eventually acquired them and formed this new company called Commotion. The name Commotion comes from community. It's actually a mashup of community and motion, and you put them together and they make Commotion. So our product that we got, our suite of tools to manage social media, has been very successful for radio, but also we've got churches that are now using it. We've got professional sports teams that are using it. We've got cities that are using it. The city will have a mobile app that you can download to learn things about the city, and then they communicate back and forth with you over our platform. So it should be comforting to know that the problems that radio is facing managing social media is not just radio. It's businesses all over are facing these same problems. So that's how we formed Commotion. Let me ask you, do you guys see the news article this morning about the wedding brawl that happened Sunday? Did you catch that? It was really interesting on all the major news networks. When they started talking about this, they didn't have a lot of information about it. It was one video from the security camera in the hotel, and all the rest of the information they gathered from social networks. They found the bride and groom's Twitter accounts. They looked at those. They found people that were following them, friends of theirs, gathered all this information from Twitter. And then, are you familiar with Pinterest? It's a social network. A lot of women use Pinterest. It's got a high female following. And what it is you find pictures of things you like, and you pin them up on this board, and you share it with your friends. And it's a lot of home decor and shoes and things like that. Guys use it too, but it really does have a high women following. So they found the bride's Pinterest account where she was planning this wedding. And they did this really awful cold thing. They said, here's the wedding she planned, here's the wedding she had. So it's an example of how in media, social radio can benefit us. And when you don't have the entire details to the story, sometimes you can go out there and social media and get them. So I thought I'd mention that this morning. How many of your stations are involved on Twitter today? Okay, Facebook? Google Plus? How about Pinterest? Okay. I will mention that the high female following on Pinterest, I see a lot of adult contemporary or stations with a high female audience using it, having a lot of success. So I always like to gauge who's where before we get started. Let's talk about why social media is important to get started. If you ask any of these social media experts, why should my business be in social media? And they're going to come back and they're going to say, well, the number one reason is it's free advertising. It's free for you to do. Well, I'm going to tell you today, it's almost free. Whoops. All right. It's almost free. Imagine the word almost up there before free. It's going to be a commitment of your staff, and a lot of stations will start off and they'll say, well, we'll get the intern to do this, or we'll get somebody who's got some other job to kind of do this on the side. As you get more and more involved, it gets more and more time consuming, and especially if you're in a situation where you've got a group of stations and you've got one person trying to manage that. So I'll tell you, don't listen when they say it's free. It's not free. It's going to be a commitment of time and energy and possibly a full-time person at some point. Next to that is there are tools that you're going to want to invest in to help you manage social media. You know, it's free to go to Twitter and use that. It's free to go to Facebook and use that. But you've got to log in and log out of all these different websites, and there are dashboards that help you manage this, and they're not free. So there is going to be an investment there. The benefits of social media is that it's real time. You can capture your audience in the moment. So while you're playing that brand new song, while it's playing, you can get feedback from them and find out about it. While that news story is airing, you can get feedback from them in real time, wherever they are, because social media is mobile now. So they don't necessarily have to be in their house or in their car. They're mobile, listening on their phone. They can get information and share information with you. Social media is an excellent tool for contesting, for polling, even for citizen journalism. You can have people out there, your listeners out on the streets, taking pictures, sending you information, news as it happens. It's an additional voice for your station, especially if you're a music station. We've kind of been held by the bonds of just in between the songs when we can talk to our audience. But now with social media, you can actually reach out to them all the time, 24/7. And get information back from them and communicate with them and engage with them. Oh, there's It's Almost Free. That's crazy. It's also engaging. You can touch more of your audience more often, right? They don't have to be listening to the radio for you to reach out and ask them a question or get information about them or tell them about a contest. They're going to see it right there on their social media feed, on their Twitter, on their phone, on Facebook. And it's a continued connection. Like I said, it's 24/7. You can always reach out to them. They don't have to be listening to the station. It's interactive. Music radio is facing a big problem right now, and it's this commoditization of music. There are all these music sources online where I can now go and I can learn about new music and explore new music and consume music. Taking away the role that used to be essentially the radio station, the only place to go. And all of these different destinations have something else that's very unique to them, is that they're interactive. I can go to these sites and I can not only consume new music, but I can see the music my friends like. I can learn, I can meet new people based on the songs I like. I can be introduced to new music based on the music I already like. So social media is the tool for radio to get back these listeners that have maybe no longer discovering new music on the radio, they're checking out Spotify, they're checking out RDO. You can go back to them with Twitter and Facebook because it's interactive. You can solve that goal that they're now getting from these different destinations. The same kind of thing that's affecting music stations is affecting news and talk stations is that these online sources are kind of replacing the role that they used to have. For example, Twitter is now becoming the number one source for breaking news. So it used to be our job to break news, but now listeners are finding out about news stories at the same time we are because of Twitter. For example, January 15th, 2009, High Force tweeted, "I just watched a plane crash into the Hudson River in Manhattan." This is the first time anybody heard about this plane crash, and it was on Twitter. September 2nd, 2010, here's a pic of the gunman that my colleague at Discovery sent me. This was the gunman on the Discovery Communications campus. First time anybody knew about this was on Twitter. May 1st, 2011, of course, I'm sure we're all familiar with this one, really virtual tweets, helicopter hovering above Abbottabad at 1 a.m. This was, of course, the assassination of Osama bin Laden. First time anybody knew about it was on Twitter. August 23rd, 2011, Jordan Junkie Juice, a teenager sitting on the front porch of his house in Richmond, Virginia, broke news about the earthquake. And one more here, November 14th, 2011, Questlove is actually a DJ for Roots, or a drummer for Roots, he tweets, "Oh my God, driving down South Street near Occupy Wall Street, something about to go down, yo. I swear I counted 1,000 riot gear cops about to pull sneak attack. Careful, y'all." This was the first time anybody knew about the sneak attack from the police on Occupy Wall Street. Wasn't so sneaky anymore, but this was the first time anybody heard about it. Couple more, the 2000 earthquake in China, and every earthquake since. News has broken about it on Twitter, not from the news media. The royal wedding announcement, Michael Jackson's death, Patrick Swayze's death, Whitney Houston's death, and all the 2012 U.S. presidential campaign nominations were announced on Twitter before anywhere else knew about them. So let me squeeze in a little tip here. What does that mean for us? If we're not breaking news anymore, how do we handle this? Well, it's still possible to break the news story, especially on local events. You can still do that. But if you're not, then at least be a part of the conversation. At least say you were there. At least be on Twitter to provide more information, to interact with your listeners, to share information about that news story with them. And if you are lucky enough to get to break the story, follow this example set by WCCO in Minneapolis. Every time they tweet, they include their call letters in the body of the tweet. They just slip them in there somewhere. They find a way to do it. So they sent out this tweet a couple years ago. High-level source with the Minnesota Vikings tells WCCO's Mark Rosin that quarterback Brett Favre is expected to sign with the team Tuesday. This was breaking news, the first time anybody heard about that. And because WCCO included their call letters in the tweet, it got retweeted, it got passed around Twitter, and it became a trending topic. And now people all over the nation learn to come to WCCO as the number one news source for Vikings information. So it got outside of just their local listeners. They became nationally known as the number one news source for Viking information. So if you can break the news story, include a mention to yourself actually in the body of the tweet, because when it gets retweeted, you still want your branding to be there, your name to be there. Another reason we need to be involved in social is because it can replace local. And let me clarify what that means. For years, we've always tried to be local. That's been our hook to get to our listeners, is we provide local information, even if you're a music station, right? We give the forecast from the local shopping mall or the local airport. We always talk about local, and local has really always been a way to relate to our listeners. It's a commonality that we have with our listeners that we can talk about and we can share. But something interesting has happened since the 90s when the internet was publicly available for everyone. And of course it grew and it grew, and then there was Facebook and there was Twitter and there was mobile. And as that happened, our listeners connected with people outside of their community. They connected with people all over. They reconnected with old friends. They learned about different countries. And their interest grew outside of local. Another thing happened is that the internet started bringing news and information to them. So if I'm really interested in the score for the local football game, chances are I'm not going to turn on my radio anymore and wait for them to say it. I'm going to look at my cell phone and find out what it is instantly. So when we look at local as a way to connect with our listeners and have a commonality, a common ground, social can really replace that, because that's where they all are now. And I'm not saying that we don't provide local information, but if all you're doing is giving sports scores, you're really doing nothing more than reading the internet to your listeners. So you really need to be a part of social. You need to be on these social platforms to really have that commonality again with your listeners. So let's now look at the effects of social media, what I call the good, the bad, and the ugly. The good is you get great listener feedback. You know, we used to have people call our listeners and set up surveys and things to get listener feedback, and it was time consuming, took a lot of people, get a lot of hang-ups. Now you can do it over the social networks and get it almost instantly. I mentioned it before, but you can engage with your audience. It's not about asking them a question and waiting for them to call or waiting for them to send you an email. You can ask a question and get an answer back, hundreds of answers back right away. It's mobile, so it's with them wherever they are. It's whenever the moment strikes, wherever they are, you can engage with them. And now you can provide more information to them. So we talk about being a part of the news story. Even though you didn't break it, you can provide ongoing information to them that maybe you can't do over the air, but you can do it on Twitter or on Facebook. And it can help you become a better news leader. So here's the bad. This is the way we used to interact with our listeners. And this circle kind of represents the areas that the station has control over. They control the experience. So when a listener comes to my station website, I control the look and the feel of that website. I control the information that's on it. Those are my advertisers on that website. The same goes for the request line. It's an experience the listener has that I control. And the same if you interacted with your listeners over texting. But then social networks come along, and they're outside of that circle of influence. We don't have any control over what our listeners or our viewers see when they go to Facebook, other than what we post there, and that's somewhat limited. And the same goes for Twitter. So we have limited control over the listener-viewer experience. Facebook and Twitter have rules to prevent monetization. So I can't advertise to my listeners or my viewers when they're on Facebook or on Twitter, but Twitter and Facebook can. So they're taking my listeners, my viewers, and they're monetizing them and not allowing me that opportunity. Facebook is a user trap. And what that means is, if you've ever been to Facebook, there's thousands of things to do there. There's games, there's pictures, there's friends I haven't seen since high school. Facebook was designed to suck people in and keep them there. The average user spends 55 minutes each sitting on Facebook. So if your website is sending your listeners to Facebook to do the interacting, chances are they're not coming back to your website in that same sitting. And social networks can change the rules or even ban us at any time. I don't know if you're familiar with, there's been a lot of news about the recent changes in Twitter's API. And it doesn't necessarily affect us yet because we're just essentially users of Twitter, but it did affect the developers. The develop platform for Twitter. And the API rules set limits, like you can only have so many people connecting, you can only get so much information back. There are limited number of ways that developers now can interact with Twitter and provide tools for us. So like I said, it doesn't affect us yet, but it should be a sign to us that Twitter at any time can just change the rules of the game. There have been cases where even radio stations have been kicked off of Twitter because Twitter thought they were sending spam to Twitter or they were advertising too much on Twitter. My son actually got his account banned from Facebook because he changed his profile picture to a cartoon character. And Facebook has these bots that they regularly check the system, and if they think they see somebody who's nefarious or a spammer, they'll just block them, and you have to call Twitter or Facebook or email Facebook and plead your case. In my son's case, there was one of these bots. They saw his picture wasn't a real human, assumed he was a spammer, and blocked his account. He got it opened up again. It took 3 days. So if that's your station account, and it can happen by accident, if that's your station account that gets banned, there's 3 days you're not interacting with your listeners if that's the only way you're doing it. Let me show you the ugly. This is Z1077 in St. Louis. I'm not picking on them. Everybody does this. Look down at the bottom of the page there, you see all these social network icons. So let's go ahead and click on Twitter. And now we're at Twitter's site, but at Z1077's Twitter feed. And Twitter tries to be very helpful to its users. Not necessarily us, but to its users. And if you look over here, they want to recommend things that are similar to what they know we already like. They know we like Z1077, so we might like Hot 104.1, which is also in St. Louis. So let's click on that, and now we're on Hot 104.1's Twitter page, and they've actually done a really good thing here. They've put their URL to their main site up there at the top of their profile, so now we're on Hot 104.1's website. We started out at their direct competitor, Z1071. So that's the ugly of social networks. Twitter and Facebook both do this. They both recommend to their users things that they might like that are similar to what they know they already like. So the result of all this, of us interacting on Facebook and Twitter, is what I call the social shift. And it causes, not only for our listeners, but for us as well, a mindset. So when we start interacting on Facebook and Twitter, we interact less on our own website, on our own mobile app, and even our own request line sometimes. And I understand that. I know a lot of our websites, there are these website providers, we contract them out, and they're these content management systems that are clunky and confusing, And it's much easier for us to upload a picture to Facebook than to do it on our own website. So if that's what's holding you back, I mean, there are free content management systems out there that are really good. There's Drupal, there's WordPress, they can be just as easy as Facebook. Just create a mindset within your station that our website is where the conversation needs to be. That's really the first part. And stop abandoning our own properties. When this happens, when the social shift occurs, we forfeit control over that listener-viewer experience. We also abandon our advertisers that are paying to be on our website, and we're sending all our listeners to Facebook instead. As we saw, our listeners or viewers get pushed closer to our competition, and again, social networks can change the rules at any time. They could kick us off, they could go away, the ball's really in their court. So what can we do? Number one, don't give up on your website. Think of your website as the place you want your listeners to end up, not Facebook and Twitter as the place you want them to end up. Don't treat Facebook like your website. Don't buy into that excuse that, well, we've got to be on Facebook and Twitter because that's where everyone is. Sure, that is where everyone is, but go there to get them and pull them back to your properties. The ways to do this is to fill your site with fresh content. If you look at YouTube, if you look at SoundCloud, and I don't know if you're familiar with SoundCloud, it's similar to YouTube, it's for sharing just audio. If you look at Pinterest, we talked about, even Google+, all these social networking sites are high on multimedia. It's been shown time and time again that multimedia really engages people and really gets them interested. So fill your site with multimedia. Put videos up there, put audio up there, photographs up there, blogs even. Get your on-air talent or your journalists to write weekly blogs. Post them on your website. Host your contests on website. Don't say tweet me back to win concert tickets. Say go to my website to win concert tickets. Make your website the final destination for your listeners when you interact with them over Facebook and Twitter. Make your website less about your brand, and this is hard for us to do, and more about your listeners. Make your website a playground for your audience, for your listeners, for your viewers. Give them the things that they're interested in. Give them these social experiences, but do it on your website. You know, there are things that we've always done because that's what we've always done. Every radio website has a DJ profile page. I'd encourage you to look at your website analytics and see if those pages like that are actually getting visited. If they're not, replace them with something that your listeners actually find is important. Again, don't think of your website as your brand. Think of it as a playground for your listeners. Learn to tease on social networking sites. Newspapers have this down. They got it down a long time ago. They don't post the entire news article on Facebook and Twitter. They put a little snippet up there. So from USA Today, we have Wade, a car that drives itself. Would you buy one? A nice picture. We've got multimedia. And then a link back to USA Today. So you can do the same thing. Again, don't do your contests on Facebook and Twitter. Announce them on Facebook and Twitter and link back to your website. Both Facebook and Twitter offer all kinds of different plugins to bring that content back to your website. So again, you still need to interact on Facebook and Twitter and these social networks. They're important. But these tools actually allow you to bring that content from Facebook and Twitter and host it on your own website. The one in the middle there is actually one that you just get from Twitter. You go to their website, they give you the code, you can put it on your website. There's another one here on the end. The one at the front here is the one that we provide from Commotion. So there are lots of tools out there that you can bring that content back to your website. Facebook has a whole suite of plugins, and you can see a few examples of them here. You can get their like button, their message send button, a subscribe button, comments button, an activity feed. You can bring these components from Facebook back to your own website. So you can create a Facebook-type experience on your own website where your listeners are still authenticated with Facebook. They're still interacting through Facebook, but they're doing it on your own website. And again, these are all free. You just go to Facebook's site and search for plugins, and you can integrate them into your website. Here's one that's so easy, but a lot of people miss it. On the social network sites, be sure to link back to your own website. Twitter makes it really easy. They have a website field. You put your website in there and it shows on your main page, on your main Twitter feed. Facebook does the same thing, but they don't show it. I don't know why they even ask. Facebook has a field for URL for your website, but they never show it on your main page. If a listener wanted to get the URL for your main site, they'd have to click on an About button and dig down and find it. So I'd encourage you to add your URL for your website to the bottom of the About box on Facebook. So if you see the top one here, it's just a snippet from a Facebook page. There's a About section right up here with all kinds of information about the company, and you can easily add a URL to the end of that. So now the URL back to your station site is going to appear on the main page. One final way to link back to your website. This is a little trickier, but it's much more engaging. This is Magic97.3, and they've got a link back to their website right here. If you're familiar with Facebook at all, what these are apps that you have integrated into Facebook. And as the designer of your Facebook fan page, you can pick what apps you want to display here. But you can also design your own app. So you can make an app that just links back to your website with your station logo. It's pretty simple to do this. You do have to sign up for a Facebook developer account. It's free to do. It's like clicking one button. You don't have to know a line of code, but you can create a little app with your logo and a link back to your site that appears up there. If you don't want to mess with it, you don't want to become a Facebook developer, even though it's super easy, you don't want to do that, you can go to these guys, facebook.com/iframehost, and they will take your logo and make the app for you, so it'll link back to your website. The last tip I would recommend is limit the links on your own site. I don't want to pick on Z107.7 again, but I am. But everybody does this, so it's not just them. This is the front site. When you load their page, this is the top half of the screen. This is what you see. And there's 6 opportunities for me to leave their site right after the page loads. So I can go interact with them on social networks. So in regards to that, and this isn't for everyone, but I would recommend you try it. And I'm sure you're going to go back to people at your station that are going to say, there's no way in heck we're doing that. But see if they will. Take the 2-week challenge. For 1 week, monitor your new fans on Facebook and your new followers on Twitter, how many you're gathering throughout the course of the week. The second week, remove all links to Facebook and Twitter from your website and see if that number changes. Quite often it doesn't. They're really not jumping back to Facebook and Twitter and becoming fans. Chances are they're already following us on Facebook and Twitter. They go to our website to learn something and they see all the links and they navigate away. So try the 2-week challenge. Anybody have any questions? Anything we've talked about or just social media in general?
Maybe if you would address the and you touched on this, but the dark side of social media, the station meltdowns that occur on social media, or the disgruntled Facebook friend that starts bombing the station.
Yeah,
and the decline that can take on real quickly for a station, that they need to have controls in place, and you need to know who your admin is and make sure that there's more than one person that has the admin password, address some of those issues maybe.
There's a lot there. I will say that if you're not involved in social media yet, and for those of you that are, I'm sure you've gone through this, the first thing that'll happen, it's generally somebody higher up the totem pole says, well, what if somebody says something bad about us on these social networks? Well, they're going to say it whether you're there or not, right? There's people out there talking bad about you right now, and you have no way to know, you have no way to combat it. So if you're there, to get past that excuse, if you're there, you have a way to converse with this person, maybe win them back, at least be aware of the conversation that's taking place. You know, there are lots of articles written on how to manage negative comments on Facebook and Twitter, and nearly all of them say you should. There are times to respond and there are times not to respond, and you'll kind of just know that. If this is a person that it seems like they're just blowing off steam, they just want to get their point across, sometimes it's best to just let them go away. If they seem like maybe they have a valid concern and maybe they're a listener, maybe it's something you want to address, And you probably should have some sort of policy, even if you have one person that's managing all your social media accounts, you probably should have some policy of how those are addressed. A lot of times it's best to take them offline. On Facebook and Twitter, you have the ability to send a direct message to a person. Sometimes that's best, or sometimes it's best just to publicly acknowledge it, make a comment, and move on. And there are times where you just gotta ban users if they become a problem. A lot of the social media platforms, the dashboards and things like that, have tools built in there to help you essentially ban users. Internally, as far as managing it, you know, it's like anything else. It's like the keys to the station building. You've got to be careful who has access to it and when they have access to it. Change your passwords regularly on Facebook and Twitter. Make it a small group of people that have access to that. Just you've got to kind of control it. You've got to take what we're used to, like I said, managing the keys to the building, managing passwords to the website, those kind of things, and apply that to Twitter and Facebook as well, because it's really, it's another open microphone, right? We're careful who we put on the air. We should be careful who we put on the social networks as well. Something else that falls in there is a lot of station personalities have their own Twitter and Facebook accounts, and you should have a policy for them that if they publicly acknowledge on the air, you know, my personal Twitter account is this, have policies in place for what they can and they can't talk about on their Twitter account. So there's a lot there, a lot that we probably can't cover now, but just take the same kind of common sense that you use to protect your interests in the real world and apply them to the online world, I guess. Does that help at all? Right. And it's, you know, there it's the same policy. I mean, you give a DJ an open microphone, they can say whatever they want, and there's repercussions if it's not appropriate. So.
Yeah, and it goes into employee dismissal, too. That
exactly. Yeah, you don't have their password and their username, right?
Right.
At least if it's the microphone, they're on the air, you fire them, but then you let them go, and they can continue to talk bad about you. There's nothing really you can do about it. We had an instance in Quincy, Illinois, where we're based, where, and I don't know how they solved it, I'm surprised it got solved at all, but the mayor of Quincy is John Spring. Somebody came up with a John Spring account that wasn't John Spring and was tweeting all kinds of things as if they were the mayor. Well, because they were impersonating someone, I guess the courthouse, the mayor eventually called Twitter and got it banned, and then the person came back with a new name, Faux Mayor Springs, and nobody could do anything about it because he wasn't really impersonating the mayor. But it's just a new world, and you know, if it's somebody else, if it's an old employee and they're still talking bad about you, at a point you just kind of ignore them and move on, I guess.
Hey, sorry to make you run all the way up here. In some other fields that I'm involved in, I've noticed that some entities would push their pages or promote their pages by running contests that require others to like the page and then vote on various maybe photos or anything else mm-hmm. via likes, which I believe is prohibited by Facebook. And in some of those cases, because they're supposed to vote through an application as opposed to using likes, and the punishment has come down rather swift where the pages are just yanked altogether mm-hmm. and all of the likes and all the fan base and everything is gone. Is that, as a best practices, is that something that should be in there on how to run contests and whatnot through the social networks?
Well, Facebook and Twitter, both their terms of service change all the time. And it takes a lawyer to understand them every time it changes. So that's the risk, right? If you're interacting with your listeners and you're using Facebook and Twitter to run contests and you don't know all the terms and services, that's the risk you run. I mean, they could easily ban you. I don't know that there's a best practice simply because the rules are always changing. The terms of service are always changing, but it gives credence to the fact that the contest should be running on our own website. We can go on Facebook and we can say, you know, go back to our website and like these photos or vote for these photos. But to be doing things on Facebook and you're not full of all their terms and services, you run that risk. I know a lot of even saying on Facebook, join us at the remote this weekend at McDonald's. I mean, that could be by Facebook considered an advertisement. So you've just got to really be careful there. I don't know of the best practices, but you've just got to really be careful there. Okay, if at some point you guys want to contact me, you can email me, jroberts@commotion.com. Also, if you want to get my digital business card, you can text Jim R to 50500, and you'll get some other ways you can contact me. And of course, we'll have a booth over in the expo later. So thanks for your time.